If you have your Bible, I want you to turn with me to Mark chapter 3, Mark chapter 3, starting with verse 1 and reading through verse 6. And he entered again into the synagogue, and there was a man there which had a withered hand. And they watched him whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him. And he saith unto the man which had the withered hand, Stand forth. And he saith unto them, Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath day, or to do evil, to save life, or to kill? But they held their peace. And when he had looked round about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he saith unto the man, Stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. And the Pharisees went forth and straightway took counsel with the Herodians against him, how that they might destroy him. Our message for this morning is an encounter with Jesus. Three kinds of folks that come to church. Not everyone that shows up at church on Sunday morning comes for the same reason. We all know that when Jesus comes to church, he comes, one, to confront those that are here for the wrong reason. And he comes to help those who are here for the right reason. The presence of Jesus means both conflict and healing. And I think you see it if you look at Mark chapter 2 and then through our text verses this morning. You find that Jesus is in constant conflict with the religious establishment of his day. It was obvious they cared more for institutions than they did for persons. Jesus cared more for persons than for institutions. Jesus comes to give God's healing grace to people. He comes to give wholeness. That's the purpose of the church. And so he reminds us in this message this morning how important that it is that we reaffirm in our own hearts and lives the real purpose for the church. Well, some come to church this morning aware of personal disability. This man that had the withered hand, now this was not some congenital disease. It was something that he acquired along the way. And through a terrifying process, we see that the hand began to dry up, to wither. I'm sure it was a slow process. But he watched his hand retract and shrink. Tradition says that he was a stone mason. And this ruined his opportunity for life to be able to make a living. This man stands for all of us who are here this morning that are in need. I think all of us, as we come to church, need to analyze ourselves and determine what our real need is. What is the real need of our life? Do we have spiritual needs? If so, then we need to come to Jesus. And you're here at the right place this morning. Some come to church in a passive way. This man was silent and he was passive throughout this whole ordeal. He says nothing, he does nothing without being told. Maybe he had lost some initiative in his life. Maybe it was that as he was sitting there and watching, he wondered if there was any hope left for him. Some here today may be paralyzed to speak or to act in the spiritual realm, and they're just waiting. You see, you want help, you need help. But you need direction. And you need someone to extend a hand. Not a hand out, but a hand up. And Jesus is seen with his arms outstretched. And he says, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Jesus is mindful of the needs that we have this morning. And he stands ready to meet those needs if we'll just let him. Thank you, sir. Well, some come to church in expectancy. This man must have held some hope, some vague, half-conceived notion that the only place that he could really receive any help was at church. At least he was thinking right. I'm convinced this morning that what the world needs, they can find at church. And all of us have spiritual needs. And there's nothing wrong during a service for those that are Christians and been members for a long time when God touches their heart for them to come to the altar and be able to straighten things out in their life or to get strength in order to carry on. But at least he had hope. He knew the right place to go. We may come expecting to receive mercy. This man not only expected to receive mercy, he received mercy. You see, he came to the only place that I believe that he could have really found the help for his withered hand. And he comes looking for mercy, and God gave him back wholeness. And when he left the house of God that day, he left as a new man. He had been healed. He didn't want to be a beggar. He wanted to work and make a living by the sweat of his own brow. And the Lord Jesus made it possible that he could. What was done was unrequested. It was undeserved. He didn't deserve that healing. He didn't deserve the blessing that God gave to him. And I remind you this morning as we sit here, there's not a one of us that deserved the mercy of God. You see, all of us, there's not a spark of divinity within us, but we all are totally depraved. There was no good thing in any of us. And so when God reached down his hand to us to pick us up out of sin, it was totally undeserved. It was the mercy of God. His unmerited favor reached down to us. You're here today by the grace of God. Well, some come to church projecting personal superiority. Some come to church only with the insight that they are superior to others that are present. Now, the Pharisees felt like that they were first-class Christians or citizens of God, and everybody else was second-class. And so the Pharisees were power people who gave more concern to the keeping of traditions and to retaining the rituals, and their driving motive was to protect their power and their position. Now there's the danger that we may come to church with the wrong motive. We might come more for the institution than for the people. The Pharisees placed tradition above compassion. They thought and they acted as if God was more concerned with outward rituals than he was about withered hands. I'm here to tell you this morning, God is concerned about the withered hands. This building is just a building. We are the church. You see, this building might one day burn down, but the church will live on. And I'm here to remind you this morning that God is more concerned not with this building or with this institution. He's concerned about the souls of men. He wants folks to be saved in this church. We ought to come every Sunday expecting God to do some miraculous work in our midst, that folks will be saved and rededicated and committed to God, and that we leave here with a passion to serve. Amen. That we might be able to reap a harvest of souls. Wrong motives lead to wrong methods. We come to make observation rather than receive grace. The Bible said in verse 2, they watched him closely. Now, I don't know about you, but I think sometimes we come in and we're more concerned about others than we are about him. You know, about what we put on, how we dress, what we do, and how we talk. And we get our focus on everybody else, but not on him. You see, he is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is our Savior. He is Jehovah God. He is Emmanuel. He is God with us. And he comes in to heal withered hands. To heal withered hands. The Pharisees came to church to see that everything was done right. They comprised the way that we always do it around here, committee. They asked, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? I don't know about you, but I don't know of a better day to heal than on the Sabbath day. But they asked him that question because they wanted to find fault with him, and they wanted to get rid of him, and they wanted to kill him, and they plotted how that they might do that with the Herodians. Isn't it amazing that the world has its institutions, and they're more important than God? But one of these days, he's going to come back and set the record straight. And folks will find out what's really important. It is not just the buildings. It's what's inside the buildings that count. Listen to how some folks talk about the church. They're always carping about the way things have been done around here. But do they ever rejoice in the fact of what has been done here? God is merciful. God has blessed us. And I want you to know that it is God that does the blessings. We may sow the seed. We may cultivate it. We may fertilize it. We may water it. But it is God that gives the increase. God has blessed this church because our focus has been on him. And as long as we keep that focus, God will continue to bless this church. I'm convinced this morning that he wants us to help to heal withered hands. The wrong methods lead to the wrong message. How little can we do around here is kind of the philosophy of the Pharisees, not how much. Church becomes confining rather than freeing, restricting rather than liberating, and limiting rather than enlarging. You see, any time a church turns its gaze inward and everything is about us, that church is in trouble. Amen. Listen, I have seen churches that it was all about us. They didn't want to support outside causes. They were tight. They wanted all of it inside the four walls. God won't bless a church like that. And any time you think about all the programs just for us and nothing to reach out, God's not pleased with that. You see, I'm convinced that we don't have a long time to serve, and we need to work while it is day, for the night's coming when no man can work. I'm convinced tonight or this morning that whatever we do, we best be about the Master's business. Well, the greatest sin that our church can commit is to do anything to keep the grace of God from meeting the needs of withered hands. And then Jesus comes to the church to make us whole and to set us free. Jesus does come to church even when we don't deserve it. Does not the Bible say, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I will be in their midst? And where his word is expounded, he comes to meet with us, even though sometimes the teaching may be poor and he knows so much more than the preacher knows, but he comes to church. And sometimes he may not always be wanted in church, but he comes to church. He loved the church and gave himself for it. Jesus comes to church in order to confront. Before you exclaimed how great it would be for the Lord Jesus Christ to come to church, I want to remind you, Jesus comes to church, but he comes with question, and he comes with observation. He questions the fact if we really understand God's intent for the church, what it's here for. You see, I'm convinced that we were given our marching orders in Matthew 28:19-20. Go ye into all the world, preach the gospel. And then he tells us in Acts 1:8 that ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witness of me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. You see, that's our charge. It's not about having socials. It's not about doing this or doing that. It's go out into the highways and the hedges, compel them to come in that my house may be full. He comes to make observation. The Bible said he looked around at them. What does the Bible say? That his eyes are in every place beholding the evil and the good. I'm convinced that he's here today and that he's observing us. He's looking at me. He's looking at you. I don't know about you, but I want to be found doing his will. As he looks at me, I want to hear him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." One of these days we will account before him that is the omniscient judge that knows all about us because he's here to observe, and that we'll answer to him for how we've lived and how we've served down here. Jesus comes to church emotionally. He comes to church, the Bible said, with both anger and sorrow. His anger is not a vindictive type of anger. It is a righteous indignation. He hates legalism. He hated the legalism of the Pharisees, but he loved the legalist. You see, God hates the sin, but he loves the sinner. Aren't you glad of that? Aren't you glad that he didn't just cast you out and say, well, if you're going to live like that, I'm just going to throw you out and I'm not going to deal with you anymore. Aren't you glad that he loves us and he sent his son to die upon the cross of Calvary for us while we were still in our sins? He mixes his anger with an even greater sorrow, deeply distressed at our stubborn hearts. He feels sorry for them who have a calloused heart. Legalism makes folks unhappy. Their focus is always not on themselves, but others. Now, I could look at you and you could look at me and we could, you know, pinpoint, but we need to look within ourselves. Have you ever just looked in a mirror and kind of examined yourself in that mirror and, you know, you looked yourself over real good? Well, that's really what the Bible is. It's a mirror. And we can look and see ourselves in the light of God's word. How do we measure up? How do we measure up in light of God's word? I really believe that if we'll hear the first command, which says, stand forth. You know, that's what I call during the invitation time. I invite folks to step out, stand forth, come down to the altar. And if they'll step out and do the first thing, fulfill the first command, then the second is possible. Stretch forth your hand. You know, he asked him to do something he couldn't do. He wanted to stretch out that withered hand, but he couldn't do it. And so what he was asked to do was impossible, but because he was obedient to do what the Lord told him to do and he started trying to stretch it out, all of a sudden it was whole because he was obedient. And I'm here to tell you that if we will stand forth, then we can enjoy the second part of the blessing of having the withered hand or the withered life restored. Will you bow with me for prayer?